Dubai Eye
103.8. People are having their say when it comes to all things carpooling. Why don't people carpool? This one's come through from Liam this morning. Because I dislike relying on others for transportation and waiting for other people to show up on time. And they rarely show up on time. It just annoys me. This one coming through from Lade this morning. Lade saying, I reverse commute. I live in the city and work out in the burbs. I've got very unpredictable hours. While I always start at the same time, I never know my end time with no public transportation option available. This can cause problems for me. Plus, driving is a hobby of mine. I lump in errands on the way home from work. I do my food shopping, etc. Good reasons put forward by Lade there for why she doesn't choose to carpool. Why do you not choose to carpool? Or do you choose to carpool? I'd love to get your thoughts and opinions on this one. Talk your thoughts and opinions. Zines has been going through some of the feeds, finding out what you're saying at the moment. What are people saying?
Well, people are saying, I basically did an Instagram poll. So far, a majority of you said, I will never, ever share my car with a stranger for the sake of easing traffic on the roads. A lot of people seem selfish about this one.
Indeed, they do. Another opinion that's just come through on the text, this one from Marianne saying, if I'm carpooling, say from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, I don't need to talk to my passengers. I'll tell them to just sleep. Marianne, thank you very much indeed for that. Okay, our big talker is carpooling. Do you think it's a good idea? Would this work for you? Why? New system being introduced in Abu Dhabi by the Department of Transport. Move aimed at reducing the number of cars on the capital's roads. Residents in the capital can sign up online to offer lifts to others and find rides. However, while charging a fee for a ride is still illegal, sharing the cost of expenses like fuel and road tolls is now allowed. Let's speak to one of the experts on this one. In fact, the Associate Professor of Civil and Urban Engineering at New York University in Abu Dhabi is Dr. Monica Menendez, who joins us live on the line. Monica, thanks for being with us.
Hello. Hi. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, it's lovely to have you here. So from your reading of the situation, Monica, and the proposals being laid out down in Abu Dhabi, carpooling in Abu Dhabi, will it reduce congestion as suggested?
Well, carpooling is indeed a viable policy to reduce traffic congestion, but you do need to get a meaningful number of people to change their travel choices, right? And you were hearing from many people who they're not willing to move to carpool or leave their car alone. Now, carpooling has been practiced in many cities in the U.S., and in some has been a big success, in others have been a big failure. It has to do with the way that it is implemented. So I think a lot remains to be seen here, whether in Abu Dhabi we're going to be able to really use carpooling to reduce traffic congestion and change the people behavior, right?
Mm. Just on that research that you did over in the United States, you had extensive research into carpooling across the United States. What were sort of key findings for you? And as you alluded to there, it wasn't a success across the board.
No, it was not. So I think there are four main issues that led to success in the cities where it was a success. So the first one is incentive, providing the right incentive for people to carpool. This can be financial incentives. And in this case, in the case of Abu Dhabi, money cannot be exchanged between people. But now we're going to have new tolls on the road. So many cities in the U.S., these tolls are completely eliminated for cars, for the carpools. So it will mean actually saving money. So in the case of Abu Dhabi, even if you don't save money, but you can share, I mean, even if the tolls are not completely eliminated, but you could share the cost with other occupants of the car, that is an incentive. Another potential incentive that it has been used widely in the U.S. is the ability to bypass congestion. So that means creating a special lane for carpools to go on and bypass traffic congestion in areas where traffic is really bad. So anyway, anything that it provides some kind of appeal for you to use carpool. So that's the first thing. The second one is creating the right opportunities for people to carpool, and the app that is being deployed is one step along that direction. But in the U.S., we have seen formal carpool and informal carpool. And in both cases, and both can be winner solutions if they're done properly. The third one will be regulations. I heard someone saying, or like previous caller said, they would hate other people not showing up on time. Another person said they wouldn't like the occupants to talk. There, you can implement very clear regulations on what to expect or not to expect about carpooling. And in some areas, for example, in the Bay Area in the U.S., in San Francisco, there are some topics that are not allowed. No one should start talking before the driver starts talking. So there's some regulations that everyone is familiar with, and it allows you to reduce the uncertainty and the fear of what's going to happen if you carpool. And the last thing, I think, is raising awareness about the environmental impact of multiple transport options, and specifically all the carbon emissions that you could cut through carpooling. Now, I have seen, so a typical example of a success city in the U.S. was San Francisco or the Bay Area, where people are very environmentally conscious, and carpooling is a big thing. Other places like Miami, carpooling was not as successful. So I think it's a combination of all these factors that would, with time, encourage more people to carpool. I don't think this will happen overnight.
It's interesting. You talking there about the incentivization, the incentivizing of the scheme as a whole. And there would be naysayers and critics here saying that's one of the big challenges of carpooling here is the lack of incentive, where petrol is cheap compared to other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. Even owning a car is seen as quite cost efficient as opposed to other parts of the world. Are those two of the issues you have to deal with?
Well, but now we're going to have tolls in Abu Dhabi. So reducing or waiving these tolls could also be a financial incentive. But you're right. Petrol is cheap. Owning a car is cheap. Now, parking is also cheap. In other places, parking can be quite expensive, right? So you would think twice about taking your own car. As long as all those things are relatively cheap and accessible to everyone, it's hard to convince people to give away the privacy of their own car, especially because you get a lot of flexibility by driving your own car, right?
Mm. It's great to see that there are new initiatives coming in Abu Dhabi specifically, and I think this is a move in the right direction. I'm wondering whether you would agree and whether we need more clarity with regards to the regulations of carpooling here, because what might work in one emirate might not work in another.
I agree, and it might be a little bit of trial and error at the beginning. I'm not sure how people are going to, I don't think the government is sure how people are going to react to it, especially after being illegal for a while or all the time before. So I think there's going to take a little bit of trial and error, but it will be nice to set up some clear regulations on how to approach the whole carpooling experience, right? What you can expect, what you shouldn't expect, how to treat others within the carpool, what's allowed, what's not allowed. What about time regulations and people being there late or not? So I think that will help.
Is it just coincidence, or is there no coincidence that this conversation is being had and this information is coming out on the same week that the toll gate system is brought into the roads of Abu Dhabi?
Well, I have no clue whether this was intended or not, but I think it is a good combination of policies, right? Like, it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to release this policy at the same time that you are implementing tolls, because it is an alternative to reduce the cost of the toll system, right? Mm. For the individuals.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's not the hugest toll that being asked to pay. But I suppose if you were to use the roads and to collate the 16 dirhams a day, that over the course of 1 week, and then of course all adds up, doesn't it?
Absolutely, that adds up, and now you have the flexibility to reduce at least part of it by sharing your car and sharing the expenses, which I think is legal. As I said, in other places, what they have done is actually it's completely removed the toll for carpools. So if you are to carpool, then you wouldn't pay anything. So it's not even sharing the expense, but it's completely eliminating the expense. I don't think that's in the plans now here, at least I don't know, but that would be another option.
Monica, you speak a lot of sense on the subject with good reason as well. You've studied it extensively here and across the world. We really appreciate you giving us your expert opinions on this one. And I'm sure you, like others, will be watching on with interest to see how this scheme progresses.
I will. Thank you for inviting me.
Monica Menendez, the Associate Professor, Civil and Urban Engineering, New York University in Abu Dhabi, joining us live on the line. This on the back of the fact that carpooling will now be regulated in Abu Dhabi. Transport chiefs have officially embraced carpooling for the very first time as part of a drive to reduce the number of vehicles on the roads. The DOT down there launching a new online system that will encourage motorists to sign up and offer lifts to strangers, friends and work colleagues ahead of the introduction of the new toll gates on all routes in and out of Abu Dhabi as of Tuesday.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.